Reading number 12, and I'm going to read that poem I got. What's her name? Read Sunday. I'm going to read it kind of different. I love Thanksgiving when we pray, and July the 4th and Labor Day, with picnics, ants, and hungry flies, and barbecue, and hot French fries, with cokes and chips and apple pies beneath some hazy, lazy skies. I love Miami's royal palm that oozes forth a healing balm beside the ocean's quiet calm, and Betsy Ross and Orville Wright and dear Ben Franklin's flying kite, and Thomas Jefferson's mighty quill, and Alamo and Bunker Hill, and Paul Revere's midnight ride, and Wilbur Wright's successful glide. I love United's friendly skies and baseball when the umpire cries, play ball as thousands quietly rise to turn their Morrison's sober eyes toward waving flag that proudly flies. And Casey Stengall, Stengallese, and Dairy Queen, and Tasty Freeze, and cotton candy at the zoo, and corny dogs, and Big Macs, too, and Burger Kings, and shopping malls, and hockey pucks, and basketballs. And Mississippi cotton fields, and Holland, Michigan, spinning wheels, monotonous Midwestern plains, Florida's sun, Seattle's rains. Atlanta's lovely dogwood trails and Santa Fe's long clicking rails. I love the Rocky Mountain peaks beneath a sky which mutely speaks. And Disney World and Disneyland and Georgia's fertile blood red sand. The Mississippi and Rio Grande, Wisconsin's cheese and dairy land. I love McDonald's chocolate shakes and Minnesota's thousand lakes. The Royal Gorge's mighty yawn, a sleepy Alabama dawn. The harvest moon that shineth on. I love to gaze at Yellowstone while licking on an ice cream cone. And Howard Johnson Motor Lodge and Ford and Chevrolet and Dodge. I love the stately Empire State and San Francisco's Golden Gate. I love St. Louis's friendly arch, the Statue of Liberty's burning torch, the Washington Monument's prickly goad, and the Colorado Trail Ridge Road. I love my country, 'tis of thee, O blessed land of liberty. Long may our glorious land be bright with freedom's wondrous holy light. Protect us by thy matchless might. I love to stand with hand over heart and think of those who did their part, who left a mom, a lone gold star, whose bodies rest neat fields afar. I love New England's rolling farms, its quaint decor and blushing charms. I love the azaleas fresh in blooms, East Texas's roses sparkling plumes. I love it when my church choir sings and know the peace that worship brings. There beats within my breast a dream that that small, faint, flickering gleam will soon become a mighty flame to spread to all his matchless name. That those dear four who call me dad will know the country I have had, and where freedom's flag flies proud and high, and those dear ones may loudly cry, I'm free, my dad helped make it so. That faint small gleam is now aglow. That Christian land that he once knew is now the kind that we know too. God's judging hand has now been stayed, so I and mine are not afraid. For churches like our own abound in every city, village, and town. We're free to witness, visit, and teach the same dear truths we heard Dad preach. And now we vow to God above to pass it on to those we love. I love America. Amen. Amen. I like that. Dr. Jack Hiles, I heard him say that in person, and I fell in love with that poem. It's long, but I love it, okay? All right, Proverbs 33. Psalm 33. I don't know what I said. Psalm 33, verse 12. I said 33, didn't I, Brother Fortson? Y'all need your hearing aids checked. Psalm 33, verse 12. Proverbs 14, 34 and 35. Both. Both. Don't laugh. I want both of them. I know that's hard for some of you. Put your finger on one and turn to the other. Psalm 33, 12 and Proverbs 14, 34 and 35. I want to talk a little bit about America tonight and our Christian heritage and what we should do. You found it? Say amen.
Amen.
I heard a sigh like it was a lot of work to find two verses. Psalm 33, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Amen. Psalm 33, 12. Proverbs 14, 34 and 35. "Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame." Now the Bible makes it real clear that God deals with national issues or nations as well as he deals with individuals. God's raised up countries and God has put down countries. You can't read the Bible and not see that.
Amen.
The day we live in, they say we shouldn't say God bless America, that's narrow-minded and bigoted. But the Bible teaches that God blesses the nation whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
Israel was blessed by God because they had the right God. Egypt, Rome, the Malachites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and a whole host of nations and peoples were judged and found wanting by a holy God. And God destroyed them. God's raised up nations and he's put nations down. You can even go to, the past century, you can go to Germany, once a powerful nation. Now look at it, depends on us to keep them safe. You can go to Japan. You can go all around this world and find countries that used to be great, which are now nothing. You can go all over this world and find countries which are cursed by God. They are. They're cursed by God. They can't grow a stick of corn. They're in famine all the time. They're in drought all the time. Y'all, come on. Am I telling the truth? You don't know nothing about geography and history if you don't know that. If it was not for America, the breadbasket of the world, over half the world would already have been starved today. Because God blesses America. Now, America is also accountable to God because of that. America as a nation will be, is, has been, and probably in the future will be punished for her sins or protected for her faithfulness, one or the other. If it wasn't for America, the world would be under Nazi rule right now. The Nazis would have destroyed the Japanese emperor and his crowd. The Nazis would have taken over. If it wasn't for America, the world would be under communist rule right now. The problem with these young politicians coming up, they've never read history. If it ain't on Twitter or Facebook or some little tiny thing on YouTube over nothing over a minute long, they're not interested in it. And like the old saying says, not to study history is to repeat history, as we see happening right now. We've got a great Christian heritage that, because our country was founded on biblical principles. Doesn't mean everybody that came here was a Christian. But it means our country, our constitution, our laws were founded on Christian principles. It's against the law to steal because the Bible says thou shalt not. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, that's only, any other law is going to come short of God's law and God's not going to bless it. our original colonies were founded primarily by believers. And they don't teach them that anymore. They say to people, that, now all our history is anti-Christian, anti-American. That's why they hate it when Trump and people that follow him say, make America great again. Obama said America never was great. That we persecuted people and we committed genocide and things like that. Well, I've got news for you. There's always been some rotten apples in the barrel. He's one of them. But America was founded on Christian principles by Christians. Primarily, they came fleeing Christian persecution from England to Holland to America, and they got on little old tiny things we wouldn't even ride across Lake Wiley on and rode for a month on it to get here. And half of them died before they got here. They didn't come looking for gold as the Spanish did and the French did. They came looking for God. And they founded this nation. Let me read you what the first Americans, I call them, the Pilgrims. The Mayflower Compact, just part of it says this. Now, just part of it, okay? And I'm not going to, don't get excited, I'm not going to read you a whole history book. Here's what they wrote, and they all signed it when they landed in America. In the name of God, amen. We, whose names are underwritten, loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God of Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, and so forth, have undertaken, now listen, not for the King, undertaken for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our King and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by this document solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. In other words, the advancement of the Christian faith and the glory of God. And by virtue of this document, enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time, as shall be thought right by the general good of the colony, under which we promise all due submission and obedience. In witness, we have here under subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the 18th year of the reign of our sovereign Lord, King James. Now, those are the people we're supposed to hate. But those are the people that God blessed. Yes. God blessed them.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Now, that was in 1620. You couldn't get five politicians to sign something like that nowadays. The Bible was considered the basic building blocks for all America. Next came the French explorers in Canada and the Spanish in Latin America, and the Spanish came for wealth and the French came to conquest. All that was the other side of Mississippi. But the majority of people in the original 13 colonies came as religious, industrious, Bible-believing people who not only sought equal opportunity, but religious and political freedom to not only trust Christ, but to share Christ.
Amen.
They didn't come to, you won't find anything where it's written that they came to kill Indians, they came to convert Indians to Christ. And the Catholics did it by force. These people never forced anybody to do anything. This is what Daniel Webster said. Y'all know who he is, don't you? He wrote that dictionary we all like to use. Lastly, our ancestors established their system of government on morality and religious sentiment. Moral habits, they believe, cannot safely be trusted on any other foundation than religious principle. You hear these liberal politicians now talking about morals. This is not what we are. This is not our morality. What do they base their morals on? Nor any government be secure which is not supported by moral habits. Living under the heavenly light of revelation, they hope to find all the social dispositions, all the duties which men owe to each other and to society, enforced and performed. Whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens.
Amen.
That's a long way from that Ortezo little old she-devil talks about. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. She needs to grow up. Somebody needs to whoop her. That's what they need to do. Yeah, she needs a whipping. We need to take her over on Coffin Street and turn her over to some of those women over there. Those women over there teach her something. Amen. Amen, little spoiled brat. Look, elected men were sworn in on solemn oaths, touching, laying their hand on, swearing by the Word of God as their witness. Now some of them don't even do that. We've had five do it that on the Koran now.
Yes.
Chaplains open in prayer every meeting of the Continental Congress. Now they take turns and they'll have some guru in there one week and some guy that's worshiping the stars and the moon and some other guy that's worshiping something else another week, and it just don't work. Government was not considered to be neutral on religion. You can't have a good government that's neutral on religion. Amen. But was established as a guardian. Religion, Christianity was established as a guardian that no state or denomination should tell citizens how to practice their religion. Now, you got the right in this country to be anything you want to be. But that's only because the majority of us is Christians and we believe in liberty, free and soul liberty. The most influential leaders favored Christianity. You go read everything they said. Read some things that our forefathers said. Every one of them said, always, everything, something about God, Jesus Christ, or the Bible is in every speech they ever made. The first book printed in America was a book on the study of the Book of Psalms. The first book printed in America. 1640 in Massachusetts. Did you know all of our leaders prayed to God and wasn't ashamed of it?
Amen.
God bless America beyond any other nation.
Amen.
Think about this. People talk about being poor, and some of us talk about being poor. But compared to other nations, the poor people in America are rich.
Yes.
Don't tell me you got poor when you got a TV. Don't tell me you're poor whenever you got running water and a refrigerator and an air conditioner, or a heater, don't tell me that you're poor when you got more than two or three suits of clothes to wear. When I got married, I had two Winn-Dixie bags of clothes. Amen. And I thought I was doing pretty good. But the poorest people in America are richer than the rich people in other countries. And they're going down to the southern border, and these news media things talking about the catastrophe. Well, a few months ago, they wouldn't even admit there was a problem there. And now they're going down there showing these people, and 4,000 sleeping in a place ought to hold 2,000, all this stuff. Well, let me tell you something. The trucks they came in on was packed to the gill. And look, they suffered for 2 weeks getting here. And they didn't get here because they thought that they was going to be mistreated. They suffered to get here because they thought they'd be rewarded for getting here, because they know that the poorest people in America are taken care of because it's a Christian nation. Well, I don't have a cell phone. Write a letter. Buy a stamp. Americans spend more on entertainment and leisure than most nations spend on just surviving. Brother Holroyd, don't tell me that anybody in our country is poor when they sign a contract for a stinking football player to pay him $200 million. And then they complain because your president won't take a salary, but he's a billionaire. Now that's his money. That ain't our money. But they'll take, Rock Hill will spend millions and millions and millions of dollars to build facilities for a football team. Many people like myself who are taxpayers don't know one name on the team. We've never been to a game. We don't know who won. We don't even know who played. We don't want to build you nothing. But see, we're so rich we can waste that much money on entertainment and leisure. Man, I need to get off of that. But officially and governmentally, America is not nearly so Christian as our forefathers anticipated it would be. And Obama said, we're not a Christian nation anymore. And the Democrats say we're not a Christian nation. And they say if we say that, then we're bigots. Churches, listen, Christian colleges, Christian organizations were counted a blessing by the early Americas. Now they're counted a point of contention. Schools began teaching reading with the Bible. When the Scotch-Irish came to America, they would there'd be maybe 5 or 10 families traveling together down that Shenandoah Valley, coming down through the Blue Ridge Mountains, and maybe down the last one settled over here at Waxhaw. And when they get there, you know, the first thing they'd do, everywhere a group of them would stop, the first thing they'd do, build their own house. Next thing they built a church. And the church was also the school. And the preacher didn't just preach, he taught school too. And his first textbooks was the Word of God. Amen. The first reading book ever brought into public schools was a McGuffey reader, and it taught morality and respect. Y'all still with me? They learned morality and citizenship as they learned to read. Now it's illegal or at least considered bigoted to do these things. They opened with prayer and a Bible verse. I remember that. That didn't affect me because I heard no preaching. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. But it did affect me at the same time because I was afraid to do anything that went against them because they did that. And I would have a problem if we brought it back because now I would say, well, who's going to teach that Bible? And who's going to lead in that prayer? Is it going to be a Mormon this week, Jehovah's Witness next week, a Muslim the next week, a Hindu the next week? And I guarantee you, a Bible-believing Baptist would be on the bottom of that list. But our forefathers never saw it that way. Schools, colleges, fraternities, clubs used to invite local pastors to speak at their events. Now they can't because it would be considered narrow-minded and illegal and they'd lose their government funding. Now listen, this is what happens when a nation leaves God. Marriages have been perverted by the LGBT group.
Yes.
By the way, why was it they get mad at us when you used to call them by that Q and now they call themselves by that Q? And now they say non-binary also, whatever that means. Marriage has been perverted and they're declining. More and more live in sin. Fewer and fewer people are getting married. Read the births in the paper. Parents have two different names. Abortions abound. Children born out of wedlock. Illegitimate births. Alcohol and drug abuse. Murders, crime has increased. We're drifting farther and farther and farther from our founding fathers. A breakdown in Christian convictions is the cause of most of these problems.
Amen.
Yes.
You put the blame on the church. Amen.
Right, yeah.
And the home. Liberalism, leftism, socialism, communism have crept in even to the Christian institutions.
Yes.
Compromise is the word of the day. And it leads to toleration. Then that leads to acceptance. And lastly, that leads to celebration of differences. I'll give you a good example. What used to be considered a fundamental independent Baptist Bible college is now called Liberty University. And this is going to make some people mad. I had one preacher in town defriend me and wouldn't talk to me no more because they had Bernie Sanders during the last election to come speak at Liberty University. And I said, what's a godless communist doing speaking at a Christian university to 20,000 students? I wouldn't send my kid there. And he got mad. He said, well, they got to hear all the views. I said, they don't hear it, have to hear it at a Christian college. You'd expect they wouldn't hear it there. Liberty is now considered the leading Christian university in America. They send people out to start churches, but they don't want to put Baptists on the name. Pastors want to be liked more than they want to be led by God. So they trim the message. Take that little knife, hold it, and they trim the message. pulpits failed. So churches have failed. Would you say that?
Yeah.
America needs to get back to God and prepare to meet thy God. Now, it's not a doomsday message. It's just a truth message. And America can still be saved. I preached it Sunday, order 10 righteous, you know. Amen. Matthew 12:30, Jesus said it. He said, he that's not with me is against me. And he that gathers not for me, scattereth abroad. And I don't care if you got church over your name or Baptist or Christian or anything else. If you're not for him and gathering people to him, you're scattering people abroad. There is no compromise on this.
No, sir.
I'm not going to celebrate your liberalism to where you don't believe the Bible and you don't believe. I'm not joining up with people like that.
Amen.
Pastor Smith, the one that ordained me, I always wondered why he didn't go to all these different kind of meetings and stuff. And as I get older, now I'm an old man, I don't go to them either. You know why? They're full of wicked compromise. All kind of stuff, just to have a meeting. Well, if God ain't going to bless it, I don't want to be there. I don't care how many people's there. We need to get back to the fundamentals of Christianity. Turn to Psalm 1. Man, I got 5 minutes. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. You still with me?
Yes.
Blessed is the nation that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. That means don't stand there with them. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Don't sit around with them while they make fun of God and his word. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's where our nation used to be. But compromise is the word of the day. We need to get back to singing, Jeffrey. I shall not be moved. Amen. Like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Amen. We're marching upward to Zion. Whatever happened to, we're soldiers of the cross. Liberal Christianity destroyed Europe. You go over there now, a lot of old churches are nightclubs now. I've read where some of them are satanic churches. Hey, liberalism destroyed the Near East churches. I'm talking about Greece. I'm talking about Iran and Iraq. Used to be, the church started in that area. And now you can only find the church spoken of in the book of Revelation and in the book of Acts and in, the letters to the churches, Thessalonica and all that. Those churches don't even exist anymore because liberalism and compromise slipped in and destroyed it. We need to get back to fundamental Christianity. That's what America was built on, that.
Yes.
You know what? We ought to get back to old-fashioned American home.
Yes.
In order to grow good old-fashioned American citizens. Now, you say whatever you want to about our president, but the man's family sticks with him. Yeah, they with him. And very few presidents have that. A lot of preachers don't even have that.
Right.
And look, we need to get back to the home. And look, it all rises and falls on the home. Now, what's in the home is going to be reflected in the church. But what's in the pulpit is going to be reflected in the home. And if we don't get back to that, God doesn't bless evil.
Come on now.
I'm going to say it. Two women and a baby does not make a family. Two men and a baby does not make a family. A man that thinks he's a woman and a woman that thinks she's a man. By the way, you ever notice that? Two women, one of them always thinks she's a man, shaves her head and cuts her hair, and then they say they're lesbians. I said, well, why'd you marry that guy? Yeah, I said that. Yeah. You're going to make them mad. Well, hey, doesn't matter what news media says, they're only less than 1% of the population. Ain't many of them to get mad at you. It's the TV and movies and the music industry. And they'll turn our children into a bunch of sodomites.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I told you Sunday, you better listen to the music. You wouldn't want me to bring that book I found in church out here and read it to you. It's awful. And it's written by a young woman to young people. About 900 pages. Full of profanity, full of violence, full of hatred for police and government. Just profanity, unbelievable. And teenagers buy this book. You better read what they're reading, I'm telling you. We need to get back to an old-fashioned Christian home where the father's the head, the mother's the heart, the children follow mom and daddy, and they all follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't have a husband. Well, you do the best you can with what you got, God will bless you. Amen. I've known men to raise children without a woman. God blessed it. Because the wife run off. I've known women who raised their children without a father because the daddy run off. God will bless that. Make Jesus their father. Make the Holy Spirit their mother. Amen. I mean, we need to get back to that. We need to thank God for our forefathers. Back to Psalm 33. Verse 12. Blessed is the nation, not just person now, whole nation. Amen. Whose God is the Lord.
Yes.
And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance.
Amen.
Now God chose us.
That's right.
God. This place, Leif Erikson, 200 or 300 years before Christopher Columbus ever came over, found this place, and other Vikings had found it. But there wasn't hardly nobody here. A couple Indians running around, loincloth, but there wasn't many Indians when the whites first came here. Not many as they make you think on TV.
Right.
Wasn't millions of them, it was hundreds or thousands or whatever. But these Vikings didn't see anything good in America. But when Christopher Columbus came, even though he was working for Catholics, he still planted that flag and claimed it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And look, he saw it as a place to evangelize. And from that day until 1776, God became the forefront and the Bible was the manual of building a nation.
Right.
So now we can't talk about God. Now you can't care about him. We can, but most people are just too scared to do it.
Amen.
Now they make fun of us. But it's people like us that built this country. Hard working, God fearing, honest people built America. And that's what's kept America together.
That's right.
Now, the devil's out to destroy our country.
Yes, he is. No, he's not.
He's working overtime.
Yeah.
And he's doing it through a bunch of people that don't know God.
Right.
I don't care if they claim religion or not. That little funny boy that's running for president, he's married to another funny boy. Bootleg or something's his name. I don't know what it is. I got all kind of names I call him. I don't want to do it from here. He said that his marriage was a gift from God to the other man. And he said people that don't believe in that are not good Christians. Now that's not what our country was founded on. Blessed is the nation is whose God is the Lord. You know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to celebrate that God sent people here after it was hidden for all those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And he sent the Mayflower over here, and those people landed and officially claimed this place for the glory of God and the furtherance of the gospel, and it went on from there like fire. Everybody that came said that just about. And there were some crooks that slipped in, I know that. There's crooks that slip into church every Sunday. But that's not who did the work, and that's not who God blessed. Amen? They've benefited from God's blessing because of us. I told you Sunday, Abraham sat there, God was blessing him, God was guiding him, God was supplying his every need, and that sorry old worldly Lot done run off down there to Sodom because he saw the bright lights of the city and where he could get all the stuff he wanted. Abraham said, a humble man over in his tent door, he saw the Lord coming, told his wife, he said, there comes the Lord, go get go kill the calf, make some cornbread. And he sat there with the Lord right in the door of his tent and communed with God himself before Jesus was ever in the flesh. That's called pre-incarnate. Jesus Christ sat and ate with that man. And he blessed that man. And that man had so much influence with God that he bargained with God. And I wouldn't guarantee that for anybody else. He bargained with God. And that's where we get that term. He Jewed him down. He Jewed him down. He went from 50 to 10. Amen. Amen. And the Lord said, okay, for you, 10. But Lot was such a sorry Christian, he hadn't even won one. Couldn't find 10. And all those millions of people were destroyed. But it wasn't Abraham's fault. If this nation is destroyed, we'll say, it ain't our fault. We're trying to be righteous. And I'm going to say this too. I think we ought to get back to praying. Wilt thou not revive us again? Amen. That thy people may rejoice in thee?
Yes.
I mean, I see things that break my heart. I can't turn on the news. I can't. I can't listen to it on the radio. And it's not because of mean old Trump. It's because of all the the perverts have taken over. The liberals, the leftists have taken over the news media, the entertainment. Me and my wife watched a show on Hulu, I think it was, last night. You can pick out what you want to watch. And with some detective show or something, you know. And on comes a commercial for I think it's perfume, Sephora makeup. And it shows this young boy come up to a mirror. He's about 12 years old, and he's putting on his makeup. And then it shows another young boy, about 16. He's putting on his makeup. And then it shows these two boys, about 16, 18, kissing with their makeup on. And it just gets worse. And it says, whether you're homosexual, bisexual, or X something, X.
She or Z,
that was it.
He, she, or Z.
Yeah, he, she, or Z. That's what. Whatever one of those you are, you can buy our product. Now, they've destroyed every one of those children.
Yes. Yes.
They're going to answer to God for that.
Right.
But you and I don't have to do it. It is sick. I read another report just the other day that there's a psychologist, I think, of course it was up north somewhere, I'm sorry, brother. This psychiatrist said that pedophilia is not a crime.
Always covered.
Yeah. In other words, sexually abusing little children. That these people are born with this tendency. Ain't that what he used to tell us about the LGBTQ, RSVP? Amen? And that we shouldn't put them in jail. That we ought to treat them psychologically and medically. And they used to say that about homosexuality. And now, in some states, it's against the law to try to treat young people who think they are homosexuals to get them back thinking right. California it is. It'll get the same way with pedophilia. My wife said, I just have to go to jail. I just have to go to jail. Now, y'all listen to me. As ugly and wicked as it's getting, this is not the nation that our forefathers saw. But it's still the nation that God saved to send out the gospel into all the world. That's why he saved it. To establish the greatest churches and to have the greatest preachers and send out the greatest missionaries that's ever lived. That's why he saved this country all those hundreds of years. And I think he can still save it.
Yes. Amen.
I think we still got 10, don't you?
Yeah.
So I want to ask you this week, while you're popping your firecrackers and all that, and enjoy it, hot dogs, I love hot dogs. And I don't know what's in them, don't care, they're good. We need to start praying every day, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people, not the sodomite, not the perverts, not the leftists and liberals, but that thy people may rejoice in thee.
Yes.
Because he's where we get our joy.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Right.
Let's start praying that every day. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in Washington. We're almost at a revolution time.
Yes.
Seriously.
Amen.
But I don't believe it's as bad as we see it in news media, because see, the news media is the ones that's doing all this. And the entertainment business, they're doing all this. I think that the majority of Americans are still God-fearing people. I still think there's a moral majority in America. The last election proved it, and the next one will too. But let's pray for an old-fashioned revival in our land. Amen? I know. That's a continued from Sunday, but I need to get that off my chest. Amen. Now, if you're not saved, he loves you. He wants to save you. He loves every one of those LGBTQ, RSVP, whatever else they got on there. He loves every one of them. He wants to save them. He's not willing that any should perish. But listen to this. Here's what they don't want to hear. But that all should come to repentance and turn to him from their sin, and he'll save whosoever will.
Amen.
Whosoever will. They've not sinned too far. He can save them. He said, my hand's not shortened that it cannot reach. Hey, he reached way down to get you.
Yes.
I think he can reach way down some more, don't you?
Yes.
Amen. Let's stand. Father, if any of us not saved tonight in this room, I pray you put Holy Ghost conviction on them. But I pray for our nation, Lord, that you send us the old-fashioned revival to our churches, our homes, our families, and that that would spread throughout the land. That's how it started. It started in people's living room, and then down at the meeting house, and then that was natural to spread to the government and the schoolhouse, and into the public.